It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE Superstar Roman Reigns, and you are listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley, two great members of the Kowloon crew. Mike, remember, this is Jay Stu's yard, brother.
This week, we'll be previewing SummerSlam 2020. Joe Murray, Mike Riley, along with myself. I want to start this week with the WWE Championship match. Drew McIntyre defends the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. I would keep the title, the WWE Championship, on Drew, but I think WWE is going to put the title on Randy Orton. They're currently pushing Randy as one of the greatest wrestlers of all time and adding what I think is a 14th WWE/World Title Championship allows them to add another notch to his bedpost, another notch to his resume. What I found interesting was Randy Orton is 8-5-1 at SummerSlam, and he's gotten some feature positioning in big matches. Kofi Kingston last year for the championship, Brock Lesnar in 2016, he loses that match. Randy Orton beats Roman Reigns in 2014. Randy Orton cashes in his Money in the Bank in 2013 on Daniel Bryan. Randy Orton wins a world title. He beats John Cena in 2009. He loses to Hulk Hogan in 2006, I think, at the TD Garden, Hulk Hogan's last WWF match. Randy Orton defeats The Undertaker in 2005. Randy Orton wins the World Heavyweight Championship in 2004 against a wrestler who we cannot mention his name. And then 2003, he's in the first elimination chamber the second elimination chamber with Triple H, Goldberg, Jericho, Shawn Michaels, and Kevin Nash, and the world title is on the line. So, Joe and Mike, I think Randy Orton wins here. I disagree with it, but WWE seems to be fighting for its, quote, ratings life here. Doesn't feel like Drew McIntyre is their answer right now for that younger demographic. So, Mike, I'll start with you. What's your thoughts on Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, see, I think Drew McIntyre needs the title more than Randy Orton, like you say. But this is where I'm going to disagree with you. I think that Drew McIntyre will retain here on this one. Now, to your points and all that, the 14th title, shaking things up and so forth for this desperate ratings draw for WWE right now, it could go that way. But no, I think they got to ride out the coattails here of Drew McIntyre, and he will be the biggest baby face they probably have right now too. And that's what they're going to have to really hope for him to be here on out. And they tried to make it that way with his win at WrestleMania. I mean, that's a huge thing, beating Brock Lesnar. And sure, Randy Orton, he turns on Ric Flair. He had the quote unquote greatest wrestling match of all time against Edge. So it's a good build up there on that sense. And then, of course, they're talking about their history, how Orton didn't have McIntyre's back. But I think this match is so important for to continue the babyface story of Drew McIntyre. That's why I think he will retain here. And that's why I think it's very important for him to retain the title and not change it up for this Raw brand in WWE.
Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, so I look at this as, you asked the question, who's this more important for? Right. In the end, is it Randy Orton or is it Drew McIntyre? They put the title on Drew McIntyre without fans. Right now, he's doing everything he can. He's doing good promos. The back and forth between these two have been very good. But at the same time, they've built up and they've pushed Randy Orton with Ric Flair. I mean, somehow they're able to push a guy who's already won how many championships in wrestling. So, you know, the way I look at it is right now, who's getting the push? And to me, it's Randy Orton. Randy Orton's getting the push. At times we see WWE with some of their writing in the scripture that we watch on television. Do they believe in Drew McIntyre still? You know, like, are they truly comfortable with Drew McIntyre as the champion? And, you know, the one thing to me will always be fans in the stands. Will they have a title change without fans in the stands? The thing here is I think you can continue to push Randy Orton, where I think you can always have Drew McIntyre trying to fight to be back on top. That's always a storyline. If you push Randy Orton down here, where does he go? You know, right now he's the legend killer. And I think if he can kill the legend of what Drew McIntyre was, I think that's what's best for business.
So Drew McIntyre's biggest win so far this year was the Rumble and eliminating Brock Lesnar. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania.
WrestleMania was in front of nobody, and that's
okay. Oh, with the crowd, but so what though? It's still
I'm just saying in general. Do you think WrestleMania's win was bigger? Because I think the Rumble win was bigger, and it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. I mean, yeah, because of the crowd. But no, I'm going to go WrestleMania. I think Mania was bigger than the Rumble. But now, to your point, though, it was so important for Drew McIntyre to win at that Royal Rumble because it built up that it was a great character way of telling the story and so forth. But I'm going to say WrestleMania by an edge. Because the fact that you were able to take the title off of Brock Lesnar, still pretty big.
So I asked that because they've got a pay-per-view the week after SummerSlam. And it makes me wonder if they're going to have Orton win here and then the pay-per-view is called Payback. And they do an immediate rematch because there's something hokey that goes on. So Orton gets his 14th title reign. McIntyre gets his immediate rematch. And McIntyre gets it back, and they progress forward to Hell in a Cell or whatever the September gimmick is.
It's kind of like a Tuesday in Texas repeat 1991, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what it is, because they haven't done a pay-per-view so quickly since then.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I like that, but, you know, I'm looking at it on a writing scale. You know, I feel like as far as an entertainment purposes, we're not getting that at the moment.
No, Joe. The reason why the ratings are down isn't because of the writing. The writing's been fine. They've been at the Performance Center without fans. That's the reason why. So once they put the show at the Amway Center with digital fans, everything's going to turn around.
See, they're watching the NBA and the NHL seeing what they've done. And even for that matter, Fox, what they're doing with Major League Baseball, putting fans in the crowd right there too. But I think they're going to go high LED boards.
Well, I ask you guys, though, who's, as far as writing goes, who's getting the push right now?
I would say Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Him and McIntyre are the two most important guys.
But, Mike, how can they go back on Randy with what? Dude, they just pushed the 13-time champion. Like
They're the two most important guys right now in the company.
I guess unless you want to put the Intercontinental as important, considering what kind of message they put up there this week for that.
I don't know. I thought the North American title was the most important one, Mike.
That was the most important title.
Do you want to take retraction on that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I thought it was more important than the Intercontinental. I was most excited for it as a fan, but yeah, they get your hopes up and after that, boom, squash it. Just like stepping on an ant outside, killing it just like that. Done.
Yeah. Tell me what a Bronson Reed is. And when he wins the North American Championship, tell me how important it is.
I know it's nothing really to write home about.
Joe Murray, what's your most important match here coming up at SummerSlam?
This is just my own important match, but
yeah, that's why I asked the question.
It's not going to. Well, to your point, Jimmy, it's not going to be the most important of all of them.
So, when you care about the most, that's
it's the one I care about. Yeah, and yes. It's Seth Rollins. It's Dominic. It's Dominic Mysterio, and here's why.
Street fight.
It has nothing to do with the two of them. It has nothing to do with all of the two of them. I think Samoa Joe is going to be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Samoa Joe might be like, I can't let this kid go out there, or I'm going to be ready if something happens to this kid. I just feel like a Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe battle is on the horizon. And listen, again, it's not the match. It's the buildup. Yeah. That promo between Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins was outstanding. Everything I've ever said on this podcast to you guys, Seth's done everything, right? He has answered every single bell. I've given this take a million times to you guys. Continue. It hasn't gotten over. It hasn't. And Samoa Joe called it out. And he goes, don't blame me. He goes, don't blame me. He goes, the Seth's freaking Rollins didn't work out. Burn it down. Didn't work out. So now it's the Messiah. That's supposed to work out now. He's not putting anybody over, and maybe he's trying to put Dominic over. I don't know. All I'm trying to say is that Samoa Joe's calling it like it is. I think Seth knows he's doing it as a paycheck and being a company man, but there's nothing better than a back and forth between a Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins, because first off, we need it. We need to see Samoa Joe put a beat down on somebody. The next thing is these are two of the better wrestlers in the company. Two guys who could talk on the mic, and maybe two guys who could be up next to a Randy Orton or to a Drew McIntyre to that effect. So, you know, I just look at it as this match here, we may see a buildup in Dominic. And it sounds like WWE is really behind this guy. I don't know what we're going to see in the ring with him. All I'm trying to say is if we don't see Samoa Joe, I'm going to be disappointed as hell, because I think he should have something to do with this match.
So a lot to unpack there, Joe. One, I think Seth Rollins has done some of his finest work this year. I think the Messiah, the arrogance, the essentially the ripoff of Bret Hart versus the U.S. is great. I think the Monday Night Messiah has been wonderful. I think Rey Mysterio comes back here. I think he signed a new contract with the company, and that's why his kids wrestling.
Yeah, SummerSlam here. AEW gave him more money, supposedly. On the
and I wouldn't be surprised to see a Samoa Joe turn and team with Seth Rollins.
Mm.
And now you have Seth Rollins with Samoa Joe as his muscle, and then a few months down the line, then you turn Samoa Joe on Seth Rollins.
Mm.
I like okay. that. And yeah, and you know what? They've also been teasing. They were teasing a while there too. You know, you have so much opportunity for another member of his Messiah crew, which I know you like, Jimmy. I can't stand it.
Oh, I think Seth Rollins' work has been wonderful this year.
But to Joe's point, like he has good mic skills, but he says all this stuff and people don't care. Where you have a guy like Randy Orton who doesn't say much and people love it.
So, and the other thing, Joe, about Seth Rollins not putting anybody over, loses to Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, loses to Drew McIntyre at Backlash, whatever the pay-per-view after that was.
Yeah, but my whole thing is, didn't Ric Flair come out to Kevin Owens recently and say, hey, man, what are you doing here between, you know, with the, you know, iconic girl and whatever, Ruby Riott there? Like, I don't know, what has Kevin Owens done since then?
So Kevin Owens went home because his mother-in-law was sick.
That's true. Yeah,
but he's been on.
So
but
he made a family decision.
The writing was. It's just yeah. It's not the writing.
It doesn't.
Joe. So Joe. Here's the thing: is like the writing is what it is. At what point do we blame the talent for not getting the writing over?
And Mike, sorry to cut you off. Just real quick, I think what the problem right now is that the talent can't work without fans. They just can't work.
So Daniel Bryan can, AJ Styles can, Baron Corbin can't, Cody Rhodes can't. There's a bunch of people who need the fans because that's how they were trained. That's how they were conditioned. They hit this spot and then they wait for the fans to do something and then they continue on. The wrestlers who have worked all over the world, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, they've worked in front of 5 fans and they can work within 100,000 fans. We've seen it. And that's the WWE style, and that's why that cookie cutter style needs to be adjusted greatly. And that's why you see, again, I go back to who was a raw trained, not raw for the brand, but who was a raw trained, came from nothing, promoted through the ranks to Raw or SmackDown through the developmental system. They're rare. They are so rare. I've stumped the panel.
You're right about that. I mean, Charlotte. That's all I could think of.
Charlotte has with Sheamus, maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking about, you know, but that's what AEW is doing.
Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins has done good work this year. Seth Rollins was king of the indies for how long? Tyler Black, anybody? Ring of Honor?
Right.
He worked with everybody. And as was mentioned to me, because, the Seth Rollins better than Kenny Omega debate, that's over right now. Seth Rollins is winning it in a landslide.
Yeah,
Rollins is better than Jerry Lynn. You know, also known as Kenny Omega, which I'm bitter about. But
but again, you know, I know that we'll get an AEW discussion, but I think that's why it's working for them, because they were all over the country working consistently, and when they're on television, they're going 100% every time.
Yep. Mike Riley, what's your SummerSlam match that's most interesting to you?
Well, you know what? Going into this week, I was thinking it over. I'm like, damn, is it going to be the Asuka? You know, she's fighting twice, you know, Bayley or Sasha or whatever. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. I like that story there. But from what I saw this week on SmackDown at the end, Braun Strowman and The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. And the reason why I see that is I'm so intrigued with The Fiend returning here, with Braun Strowman coming out and possibly having him return to a full-time tag team or some sort of faction with Bray Wyatt, because SummerSlam will be the one-year anniversary of The Fiend debut. And for him to have the number on Braun Strowman at the Swamp match and, you know, to do, you know, all his mythological powers and so forth. Then that Braun kind of teased that he'll turn at the end of SmackDown this week. I think that's the best thing for business here, folks. Doesn't mean that Braun Strowman would exactly lose the title, but for a storytelling aspect, Braun Strowman to be a heel again. He already did it with the buzzed hair, and he put up Alexa Bliss right there too. I think we're on pace to have a good change, shake up here, where Braun would be a heel and possibly even tag teamed with The Fiend here on out, because I think we're all in agreement. I like Braun Strowman better as a heel. I don't know about you guys. I think he's much better as a heel. He was fantastic during that run there against Roman Reigns a couple of years ago. Kept beating the crap out of him. And he's just a better, he's a big guy. He's got that mean look to him. So give me Braun turning as a heel here and forming with The Fiend. That's why I'm all in on this one.
Joe?
Is this heel versus heel? And are we seeing maybe that Bray Wyatt is neither? And can just get off on who he is and the character he is. I mentioned writing 15 times so far in less than 20 minutes, but the writing here is good. You got a heel versus a heel. I just think in the end, people are going to like The Fiend, and they're going to always wonder what's next for Braun with his bald head now.
So I think that they essentially gave you the double switch on SmackDown. I think Bray saving Alexa Bliss and them teasing that, and Braun dropping Alexa Bliss, you know, as the lights go out, I think that's a clear signal. I don't see them forming a unit, but I do see it Braun being on the villain side of things as a way to get out of the match without having to give Bray the title back. And that might be what we're going for here, is it's a way that Strowman can retain going forward. He can get disqualified. Mm-hmm. But as a good guy, he couldn't do it, or they didn't want to do it.
Yep.
I don't think Bray needs the title.
Nope.
But they have to get out of this match somehow. And maybe, again, it's a disqualification, and it leads to payback, and then Bray gets the title. But I wouldn't even do that. I would just let Braun have the title. Bray goes off on his way. He's on TV. Maybe he's chasing a legend. Maybe he's doing something else, but I don't want the title on Bray right now. I don't want the title on Bray for a while. I don't think he needs it, because they already have the belts on merchandise sales, so he can sell those merchandises and go from there. But I think Braun needs a little bit more of a run. And also, they've got a couple pay-per-views. Hell in a Cell is September, I think, or maybe it's October now. I don't know, but they need something for that. Maybe that's they just extend it out to there, and that's where Bray wins it.
He lost it last year at Hell in a Cell, so it makes sense for him to get it back this year in that terrible finish at Hell in a Cell last year.
Yeah, Seth.
Right.
That's the writer's issue. There's your writer's issue, Joe.
And while we're at it,
that terrible finish. Go ahead,
if
Joe.
If they had to choose one, Braun or Drew, wouldn't it make sense to push Braun with the title and maybe push Drew back a little?
So I would actually, at this point, whenever they're doing the draft, I would have McIntyre beat Strowman on SmackDown. And that's how I'd get the title off of Strowman and put McIntyre on SmackDown. It's in front of more eyes and see if you can try that. Try him on the blue brand. And then when you're bringing Brock back, Brock's on the blue brand because you don't have to. Heyman's not writing for Raw. Heyman can just manage Brock. And again, SmackDown is supposed to have more eyes on it. So that's where you do Brock and Drew the build to the Rumble, to WrestleMania rematch, whatever you're going to do. That's what I would do.
Okay.
The only thing that really strikes me on SummerSlam is the fact that Asuka's wrestling for both women's championships.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that? Michael, start with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think what they're trying to do here, from what I'm reading through the lines, to build up Asuka again. And of course, you know, she had that undefeated streak there up until WrestleMania 34, before losing to Charlotte in New Orleans. And, you know, Asuka, like, you know, she kind of, obviously not at that big spotlight spot where she was before. So maybe this is her opportunity to try to get both the belts back. And then, yeah, her tag team partner essentially got killed off the storylines here. So what they're trying to do to her, build her back up, I like it. And you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if she is to be, you know, the Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion, where you finally do see the Bayley Sasha turn here, maybe. You know, have someone interfere and screw them over, and then they just start going after each other. So what they're trying to do for Asuka to build her up, I like it, but I still think we're a little ways away from getting Bayley and Sasha going at it. So I just don't see Asuka winning either of these matches.
Joe? What came down to Asuka being the person to do this? Like, the Shayna Baszler angle was happening. It seems like when they don't know what to do, they just give Asuka the opportunity. Does it seem that way? Like, Becky walks away. Okay, Asuka, you get it here. It's just that, what does Asuka versus these two give you? What does it bring to you besides the two going at it? You know, it's SummerSlam. And historical for me is title for title, right? Isn't that like historical for you when it comes to SummerSlams? And maybe it's just the Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior thing. And maybe for you guys, you can remember others that have happened.
WrestleMania 6 was title for title.
Okay, there you go. But it's just the nostalgia of SummerSlam to me is title for title. And just throwing Asuka in the mix is just like, it's safe, right? It sounds like they don't like Shayna Baszler. And then who else is it? Charlotte's not around, so who else can they do? Right now, it's just kind of like Asuka's your like, you know, consolation prize. All right. Yep. So you're going to fight these two, and then until they fight each other, like, where is it going? And it's kind of I'm not a Bayley fan. I've made my peace on this many times. It's boring. It's getting boring. It's getting boring.
Bayley's done some of her best work, Joe.
Oh no, I think it's, so you might think so. I just think it makes me change the channel.
Really?
You're all set on her, huh?
I've been out on Bayley for 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
I know, but yeah.
You guys know this. It's just when I watch, it's like, it's my best friend. Ah!
It's like, oh, I can't, it's so do good. It. The whininess is so good.
Yeah.
I just don't want
the whininess is so great. They're both whining about it, and then they're trying to do the Jericho thing from Slamboree a few years ago, where they're reading off the cards of their competitors and they won't finish it because it's Asuka and they can't believe it's Asuka. That was good stuff the other night. Like, they're running down their opponents. Oh, it was good. It was good. What I think is going to happen here is, I think Asuka's going to get one of them. I don't think she's going to get both of them. And then they announced that Payback is going to have Sasha and Bayley defend the tag belts. And Asuka will be one of the challengers, and it'll be her and Shayna Baszler. And they'll do Asuka, Shayna Baszler, they'll win the tag belts, and then they'll leave Sasha or Bayley with the one women's title. And then Shayna really won't want to be in a tag team, but they'll kind of do the dysfunctional tag team partners. At least that's how I would book it.
Okay.
And then that that can go forward. And then you get Asuka versus Shayna Baszler, which you got a tease of, which could be a really good program for the hardcore fans. I don't know that it's going to connect with Joe Blow, Pink Hat, wrestling fan. And that, I think, is the issue, because neither one of them are great promos or are given the ability to be great promos.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? And then you look at Bayley's been the SmackDown Women's Champion for over a year now. Sasha, you know, recently becoming the Raw Women's Champion.
If she retains, it'll be the first time she's retained the singles title. Like, she's never defended the title successfully.
Oh, yeah, without the help of, the dirty finish and everything. And that's what pisses me off, how she wins.
Oh, I love that finish so much.
Oh, it's terrible. It is
garbage.
You win
the title on a count out? Oh, it's tremendous.
Oh, get out of here. That's the worst way to win.
She's a villain, Mark.
And I know you. That's what you said. You told me that I sold out to stuff like that. But that's the fan of me. I hate that stuff. So that is garbage. Yes, exactly. So WWE is getting what they want out of me. So no. Not a fan of that. Hey, listen, if they're going to tease this breakup, it's only a matter of time. But I think it'll happen when we do get a crowd back.
Yeah, and the other thing with Shayna is if they're going to do Raw Underground and Shayna's going to win all these, you know, sparring contests, like,
yep,
do that before you put her in the Battle Royal. Like, let her have a few weeks of that, and then they're like, oh, wow, she's a badass, even though she was having great matches in NXT, and most of the fans that are left are watching, were watching NXT, or at least the takeovers. Yep. So they know how good she is, but the new audience might. But I mean, if you read Chris Jericho's Twitter, AEW's beating Raw in certain demographics. So whatever.
Yes, that's right.
So that's it as far as the SummerSlam matches that interest me. You guys surprised that they're running the Armway Center, the basketball arena in Orlando, until March 30th with no fans?
Not at all, because you know, the backstage behind the scenes payoff to the state of Florida, I think what the WWE has seen with what the NBA has done, and the NHL with no crowd, and, you know, putting those the tarp and the lower loads and then the LED screens, they had to get out of that performance center. Because that place is not cutting it. Do you really want to see that little fan swivel around all the time on a Monday and a Friday, and where it's so damn small, you're so contained to just not being able to do certain things there? It's getting old. They need a change of scenery. And you know what? They probably have to do it because they realize the ratings are so low right now. And just the fact that you have a new sort of imagery and that wow effect, they have to do everything they can. So they have that backdoor deal with the state of Florida. Not surprised at all.
Yeah, I might watch just because it's different, right? They've done nothing else to be different. You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's been really hard for me to watch. And it's I think it's more because we're insulted with them waiting around until fans. And I just wish they could be more creative with, like, you know, trying to do things without fans. Like, they're holding out top stars, they're holding out title changes. So, you know, maybe this is the first step, right? Changing up the scenery, maybe adding some fans or noise or something to that degree. But I'm okay with it. It sounds like they might, you know, they hired a new writer this week or something to that degree, or last week. They're trying things.
Joe,
out.
I hate to break it to you. The fact that they hired a new writer means nothing, because it's still Bruce and Vince.
But yeah, that's fine. But we need a change.
And Hunter.
We need a change.
So the old man has to die.
That's what has to happen. It's going to be there till the very end. Yeah.
Vince has to die, and then Bruce has to get fired, which Stephanie will fire him immediately. maybe he'll carry a gun to the arena, and that'll make it easy for him.
It happened in Boston.
That happened in Boston. So that's a true story. Check out Something to Wrestle in the archives. And
Survivor Series. Yep.
Survivor Series 08, which is interesting. Vince and Bruce need to go if you're going to have any new writer make an influence. That's what has to happen. Like, and it's so fascinating to me because AEW is having more good weeks, I think, than WWE. And they have Tony Khan, who's a first-time booker. They have Cody and Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, who haven't booked on a big level before. And and Chris Jericho is a creative mind, and all these people, they have different inputs and ideas. And maybe that's the difference, is that when Vince went to the Attitude Era, we've got Attitude. No, you were stealing Paul Heyman's ideas. Or Paul Heyman was just giving them to you because he was on your payroll. Something not talked about. Heyman was on the payroll at that time. Maybe instead of Vince Russo was stealing the ideas, Heyman was just giving Vince the ideas. Something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what needs to happen, is you need to get somebody who's, you need to get Vince invested more with the talent. Like, Steve Austin was in on all of his stuff. The Rock was in on all of his stuff. Triple H was all in stuff. Mick Foley was part of his stuff. And they're helping. They had the volume turned up on what they were doing. And that's what AEW is doing right now. That's what I think they're doing, is they have Tony Khan said on a podcast that Chris Jericho was on a Zoom call and said, hey, if you've got ideas, now's the time to try something.
Exactly.
And that's what they're doing. Like, I don't like that. I don't like everything that they're doing. I hate that Kenny Omega is in a tag team. But, you know, I'm dealing with text messages from friends who are like, Adam Page is better than Kenny Omega. Prove me wrong. And I'm like, I can't, because you called him Jerry Lynn, and I'm bitter that you called Kenny Omega Jerry Lynn, because Jerry Lynn was RVD's jobber.
His little guy.
But that's an ECW issue with me. That's in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Cody's doing good stuff. The Young Bucks are pulling ratings. Moxley's the champion. But they're AEW went from like creating all these different stars to just proving that WWE can't book their stars. So they're inconsistent too. And Taz shouldn't have brought back the FTW title. Like, where's Brian Cage on the YouTube show? Anywho, I don't want to get sidetracked with that.
No, but that's fair. Yep. It's all good.
That's just, and it kind of transitioned. Are you guys interested in TakeOver?
If it were in Boston, sure.
I say yes. And the reason for me is, I just think they always put on a good show, right?
Yeah.
Like they always put on a good show. There's always something there. I love what Killer Cross has been doing lately. The Finn Balor, Keith Lee, that kind of stuff. Like, I'm into it, but I will say this: has the star power been lost a little bit?
Well, and I wonder if that's why Adam Cole is fighting Pat McAfee.
I know.
Yeah. I think that's to get ratings, don't you think? Like, try to get that bar, that barstool crowd or that football fan involved, you know?
Yeah, it was the biggest work going, that whole that fight there in the studio. But you know what? The thing with you're right, Joe. Yeah, NXT takeovers, they are really good. I thought the NXT takeover in your house was really good back in was it May or June. And listen, I'd made the comment, if it were in Boston, sure. I'm just being bittersweet about the whole upcoming weekend. In fact, I'm looking forward to any weekend we can get, but this one in particular is going to be a tough pill to swallow because everything that's supposed to happen here in Boston over the weekend. But you know what? Like I said, they typically do put on a good show for the takeovers. Will I watch? Of course. But, you know, it's going to be different, and we'll see. Maybe this could be a testing ground, too, for the future. I know they're not at Amway. They're going to be at Full Sail, right? They're going to be where they... Yep. So it could be a testing ground for that, too, see how things go here on out for Raw and SmackDown in the future.
So I think the show is going to be fine, but as far as, like, am I anticipating anything great on the show? I'm a little, I don't know. NXT went through like a little bit of a rebuild where it was like Drew McIntyre on top or Andrade on top. And I'm watching the shows, and the shows are great, but I'm not like, oh, I really need to see this match. Although Gargano and Andrade was excellent, but I wasn't like craving like an NXT like top to bottom show. I'm not craving this show.
Yep.
The ladder match will be great. Io Shirai might be the best women's in-ring performer that WWE has across all three brands. She's fighting Dakota Kai, which team kick. I like Dakota Kai. Adam Cole and Pat McAfee, I'm not sure what to expect, although if Adam Cole's the great worker I think he is, then this will be one of his finest performances, and we'll see if Pat McAfee is the proverbial broomstick.
Yep.
Keith Lee's awesome. Like, he's great. He'll have a great match with Killer Cross. I am interested to see if Cross wins or loses, who goes where? Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, the draft is coming soon.
Yep.
And I feel like they accelerated Keith Lee, or maybe they were late on Keith Lee and they should have done more with him. You know, NXT Portland is where Keith Lee wins the NXT title, not the North American title. And I know that the timeline is a little, I don't think that he was in play for, I don't think he was the North American champion at the time. So he might have been, he might not have been. I don't remember. I remember he had the match with Dijak, and I don't remember if it was for the title or not. My fault. But I feel like Keith Lee may be going to Raw or SmackDown soon, in the same way Adam Cole might be going to Raw or SmackDown soon. And that's why like the depth of NXT is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And then who is, like, we haven't seen Champ in a while, Dijak. We haven't seen in a while.
I got something on that one, I think.
Yeah. Whoa. I think so Dijak, I don't know if I should say that. So I think Dijak had his second kid, but I don't think that that's out there.
Okay.
What do you know, Joe?
Yeah. What do you got?
All right. Well, I'll just say it here.
You got it now.
This isn't the dirt sheet or anything like that. This is just kind of
Joe sources.
Not sources. My own research, actually.
Ooh, fancy.
Okay.
We know of this group that has been assaulting Big E and John Morrison. We saw it this week. And I don't want to use Nexus. I don't want to use, you know, that Antifa type of group.
I hated Nexus.
I think that Nexus group is a group of former NXT stars such as Ciampa, Dijakovic.
Yeah. Yep, that makes sense.
That's what I think, too, is the NXT guys who haven't been used in a while.
Yep. It looks like they're going to be.
And is that good for Ciampa? Who said he'd never go to WWE, by the way?
Well, it's different now because it's different now because they're all based in Orlando and they all live in Orlando or Tampa.
Right. Close by.
So it's not like he's traveling and doing 300 shows a year, which was his point.
That's true.
Right.
But is that angle, we've seen it not work, guys. And I don't know. I mean, I just feel like Ciampa is somebody that they could get over big time. Like,
yeah, because Ciampa will kayfabe people. I told this story. Actually, I told this story recently to somebody. Mike, we went to New Orleans and we were in line for Ciampa at Access. Do you remember what Tommaso Ciampa did? He saw a fan with a Johnny Gargano t-shirt. He took the tablecloth off because Gargano and Ciampa were fighting the next night at NXT TakeOver in New Orleans.
Yep.
And he covered the fan so that t-shirt wasn't showing when he took the picture.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was character.
And that's when he had the crutch. He was.
Yep. Yeah, he had the crutch. And the second fan who tried to do that, because both these fans wouldn't turn their shirts inside out.
Right.
The second fan, Ciampa wrapped something around the kid's head and took the picture and did the, I don't know. and both the kids were hot about it because they didn't get it. And Ciampa, you know, was so good because it's just, it's old school. It's keeping to character. It's keeping the story going.
Yep.
You know, he broke it to me and, you know, it gave me, because I knew Ciampa a little bit. And I put Andy Wong over to Ciampa, and Andy's you know, that's a whole nother story, and he broke it for Andy, and I think he broke it for you, Mike.
He did, to your credit too, Jimmy. You put me over to her. That was very nice of you. Thank you. Well, you're a fine American. But I thought it was I thought Ciampa is that kind of guy. He just is so passionate about the business and the fact that he didn't want to travel and everything. But this faction here, for whatever we're going to see, if we see them debut at SummerSlam, you know, that let me put it this way. If we don't see them debut at SummerSlam, I think you see them debut. We find out who they are the next night on Raw, and then they may, or at Payback the week after. Wouldn't that make sense?
Because Mike, here's the follow to your thinking. I like your thinking.
Okay.
I wonder if whoever this group is, they do a run in during, one of the title fights, both of the title fights, the end of the show. And the payback is, it's a 10-man tag. We find out who these guys are. it's the big mystery. It's they do a run in. You don't know who they are. It's an open challenge. It's, you know, Orton, McIntyre, Strowman, Bray Wyatt, and somebody else, Big E. And it's like open challenge. You guys come next week to the pay-per-view and we'll fight you, but you have to take your hoods off. So they all show up.
Now Ciampa we're talking.
Comes out, Dijak comes out, and that's why they have the bounce back pay-per-view a week later. That's your big angle.
I love it. Hey, love it. There we go.
Just one last thing to this. Have you noticed that they're trying to find a leader in the locker room? Like Baron.
Yeah, because Roman's not there.
Corbin tried. Big E's trying. And I think he can. Maybe this is the spot for Big E. I know. I heard you guys a couple of weeks back talking about it. Maybe this is the spot for him. But they're looking for a leader. And maybe this angle can find that type of guy.
It's hard to lead when you're all socially distanced in trailers and you only come into the locker room at certain times and things like that. But you're right. You're right, Joe. You're right.
Well, there's no wrestler court.
Yeah. The Undertaker's retired. Roman Reigns is at home.
Yep.
So who's next on the list?
AJ Styles?
No.
I don't think AJ doesn't want to lead.
Well, the character's in it for himself.
Okay, yeah.
You know, Daniel Bryan's home with his newborn.
Right. He's not there. Yeah.
Paul Heyman's gone.
Mm.
And Paul Heyman, you know, depending on who you talk to, is liked, doesn't liked, might be overrated, might be underrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
You know, Charlotte's gone for a little bit.
Dolph Ziggler? Kofi's out. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough when they're all, you can't be together. You're not on hanging out elbow to elbow. Seth Rollins, do I dare say that? Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre,
not their personalities.
It's a transition. Yeah, it's a transition.
I think Big E could be.
He could be.
Just let's see.
Yeah.
But I think Big E's a long play here, and I wanted to see.
Oh, yeah.
Like Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles at SummerSlam will be a great match. It'll be awesome match. Probably a match we should have given a little bit more time to. But
I
wanted to see Big E in this position.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see Big E lose, but lose a tough competitive match. And I want Big E to do something huge at Survivor Series, important at Survivor Series. I want him to win the Rumble and then go on to WrestleMania and beat The Fiend or Braun Strowman or Brock Lesnar or somebody like that.
You're all in on Big E, huh? You are all in on
him. I think he's got everything.
I think he's got everything
to be a top star.
And like I mentioned to you, I think last week or 2 weeks ago on the show here, I thought that Big E, you would have had that opportunity when maybe turning on Kofi last year when he was the champion and breaking up the New Day and have that real test here. So now it's his real opportunity to shine here. And I'm happy for him. The interaction we've had with Big E, he's a good guy.
You guys had a good discussion about this a couple weeks ago. People want to go back and listen. Was it 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah,
it's available at the archives on 90 WrestleCast.
I listen every week. It's my favorite podcast. But he's met every challenge, right? He had AJ Lee by his side.
Absolutely.
Went to Big E Langston and turned into Big E. The New Day was a chance and it worked.
Yep.
He's been a third piece guy. He's been hurt going along with the guys. Like, he's a powerful voice. He's well liked. He's a big heavyweight. Let's call it what it is. He's been an Intercontinental Champion.
Yep.
Why not Big E?
Yep. Put it on him. Give him a shot. He's earned it.
At Coast 9. Yep. So NXT TakeOver is going to be 8:00 on Saturday night. Do you know what's going to be Saturday night at 6:00? That's AEW. I'm sorry. TakeOver is going to be at 7:00. So there's going to be an hour overlap of AEW and NXT. One on the network. NXT is going to be on the network. AEW is going to be on TNT because the NBA is going to be on Wednesday nights, which is the reason why originally TNT wanted AEW on Wednesday is because ESPN had the basketball games on Wednesday nights. So there would not be an issue like this. But here we are, pandemic. So AEW, Saturday night, 6:00, TNT. For longtime WCW fans, it was 6:05, TBS, Georgia Championship Wrestling, the National Wrestling Alliance.
Remember the two doors that opened up?
Yep. They did studio wrestling too.
That's right.
So Cody's defending the TNT title, which, by the way, looks beautiful.
Oh, I love it.
Against Brody Lee. The elite of the Young Bucks and Jerry Lynn are going against the Dark Order. Of course, Jerry Lynn is Kenny Omega, if you haven't got caught onto the joke yet, and I'm still bitter. and the finals of the Women's Tag Team Cup tournament. Interesting that they're doing, I would have thought that they would have put Moxley on this show, but they're obviously saving Moxley for MJF, which in the pay-per-view is in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. So you guys going to watch AEW and then TakeOver and,
for the first hour, yeah, but then I'm going to go right to TakeOver at 7. I'm not watching the Holy Dynamite show. I can get that on replay. So, yeah, TakeOver, that's fresh as it is. Want to live tweet, want to hang out, talk to people, have interactions with it. So, yes, AEW first hour, then right to TakeOver. You doing that too, Jimmy?
I'm sure Jimmy will be watching. Yeah, I'm going to be watching, dude. I just think AEW is a better product right now. It's must watch. Every week you're wondering what's going to happen next. They, you know, I'll bring up just the Orange Cassidy Jericho fight ends, and it's like, dude, that's how it ends. Like, now I need to watch. I need to know what's going to happen here. I need to know about the guy who doesn't talk and what he's going to say next week, and the guy who talks and how it's going to go on his record. Like, I need to know these things. Am I going to see Mike Chioda again? Am I going to see, like, who's going to be the new guy that comes in this week? AEW is working. It is working.
Bischoff.
Everything they do right now works. And I'll tell you, one of the best things that's going right now, when they do a commercial break before they like bring in, I don't know, the next fight. Have you noticed the Sammy Guevara with his, poster boards?
Yeah, the sign thing is great.
This thing is unbelievable. Yep. Like, yep. I love this thing. This thing needs to keep going over. Like, we need Sammy Guevara, like, poster boards. We need t-shirts with him doing this with certain sayings on it. This thing's getting over like crazy. How are they getting over week in and week out? But the other product that we're looking at, we're tired of? Is that what it is? Because I know some of their guys are making the switch, but I continue to want to know who's going to be next.
So I think part of it, Joe, is the younger audience is connecting with people who are just turning their own volume up. They're not playing wrestler on TV. They are, you know, who their promoter is. Jericho's a huge influence on that because Jericho is Jericho. Mm-hmm. The Orange Cassidy character is fabulous. I thought that match Jericho and Cassidy was a little sloppy, but it's, you know, Jericho's 50 and Cassidy has kind of a unique style. So there's going to be a little bit of an issue there with timing and everything. I think Jericho's future is on the mic. And I think, as irony would have it, they get the title off him right around when they should have.
It was great. Well, JR. And
but I think to your point is AEW feels more authentic and WWE feels with a few exceptions here or there, like Sasha and Bayley is authentic. Alexa Bliss feels authentic. Seth Rollins feels like a cocky prick, which we think he is. I don't think he really is, but he might really be that based on his social media. And there are things like that. And I think that those, like Kevin Owens is authentic, but I think some things that aren't necessarily authentic don't get over. Like we all think Bray Wyatt's a little bit of a creepy character. So that's what he's playing. That's what he's doing. So I think that's kind of, there's an authenticity feel to AEW more than WWE. And also WWE has a certain formula that if you've watched for any length of time, you kind of know what it is. And AEW doesn't feel like they have a formula. And that was a uniqueness to WCW and ECW, I think, at the time, was we couldn't figure out their formula and they'd have new guys pop in and pop out.
And I'm just curious. All natural.
I was going to say, like, Mike, like, what's the one thing you look for? I'm down on wrestling right now. I'm watching because I'm loyal.
Right.
But like, what is it that you guys continue to keep watching every week?
The one thing now,
the podcast.
That's a major part of it. Yes, a paycheck. However, though, I will say this, the closer you get, and this is what they do every month, the closer you get to a pay-per-view, that build up there, that's where I get more into it. So, you know, I don't sit in front of my TV every Monday watching the full 3 hours. Maybe I'll watch an hour and then, you know, watch the remainder DVR later in the week and so forth. It's just very hard to just sit down and glue your ass right there for the full 3 hours live when you can get it on replay later in the week. So I will watch the full show this week and then SmackDown because it's going into SummerSlam. And should I have been in Boston on Friday night for SmackDown? Yeah, but you know what? I'll still watch it because I'm excited for the pay-per-view. So that's the that's the best thing that can get me going. And then next week we have Payback and the following week AEW. So, you know, the pay-per-view there. So AEW, I'm more invested in that product right now, but the closer you get to one of the main shows is the more I'm invested in on it.
I'm still watching, I mean, mainly for the podcast, quite frankly. But I'm also looking for like good stuff because I want to like wrestling. I want to be invested. Wrestling is a hobby that I'm very passionate about, have been for 30 something years now.
Yep.
So I want to see the good. I want to think through it and be like, okay, this is happening for this reason. But I also kind of want to be entertained, and I don't know that I'm getting all that entertainment. But I mean, the main reason why I'm still watching regularly is the podcast. I mean, if I'm being podcast content, and because I want to hope that I can say that's the next big hit. Mm-hmm. That's the next Steve Austin. That's the next Rock. That's the next Becky. That's the next Roman, the next John Cena, the next Hogan, whoever that is.
Right.
And be like, okay, that's the start of something.
If I had to ask you both, I'll give you mine.
Is this Joe Murray round?
Sorry. I know.
Don't be. I'm just turning into it.
I'm into this because like everyone listens to the show weekly. Everyone loves wrestling. And you guys are the other guys. Hey, people want to talk gambling, they call me in lift shots. But like right now, the guy that I have, when you just said who's the next, the only guy that I feel that way about is Killer Cross, Karrion Kross. I feel like they're trying to build him and do. I think he can. I think he's got the look.
I do too. I
think he's got the ballet. Yep. I think he's got the music, the scariness, all of who's your guys? Is there other guys? Because maybe I really nitpick here, but I feel like he's the one guy that I have on my list.
Well, it's so hard. Yeah, Cross is good. He's in a great spot there with Keith Lee. You know, the thing is, like, and JR has talked about this on his podcast too, you know, as of late, recently, a couple of shows ago, but he made a comment like, you know, Hogan, you got Austin, The Rock, John Cena, and he's even made reference to that too. Who's that next guy? Who is it going to be? Will there ever be someone in that same echelon? Because I don't think you will ever have someone, and it's very hard when the bar has been set that high, to JR's point. It's very hard to get someone back up there again to as high as they once were. I don't see anyone right now. I just don't. Unless they have a whole change of character. Did you guys see Stone Cold Steve Austin like this a year and a half before Austin 316? Because I certainly did not. So if they can change something with someone just like that overnight, sure. But right now, I don't see it.
So I think it could be Big E if done right. I think if Adam Cole were 6'4 and not 5'10, you'd have something there. But that's the problem, is some of these characters like Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole, they're undersized. And Bryan had his run to the top and then injuries cut it short. Everything Daniel Bryan has done has been great, except the machine never fully got behind him. And you know that the machine wasn't fully behind him because, yes, he wins the main event in New Orleans at WrestleMania 30. But look at where he's programmed the rest of the way. It's with Kane. Meanwhile, you've got Evolution versus The Shield as the main events.
That's a problem. That's
positioning.
One more for you guys. Orange Cassidy?
Yeah. I mean, I like him, but he's
needs
not.
Needs a crowd.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, it's a good spot to be in there with Jericho and so forth. But yeah, Jimmy's right. He does need the crowd. Like, he's funny.
Needs the crowd. He's the Intercontinental Champion. He's not the World Champion.
I think
in the same way that Otis, if he ever cashes this thing in,
needs a crowd.
He's not the World Champion. He's the Intercontinental Champion. Mm. He's the U.S. champion.
But guys,
he's not the long-term world champion.
I think they have something with Cassidy, though.
I hope you're right, Joe.
I think Jericho sees it.
I agree.
I just think we need to see him a little bit more in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hands in his pants. It's all great. The gimmick is outstanding.
Yep.
Can we just get a little bit more?
Yeah, and one more, too, just to go back on, is there someone else? I mean, we didn't touch on the women's division either. Is it Rhea Ripley? Is she going to get that push? Why wasn't she in that battle royal this week?
You're big on her.
That I know. Almighty push.
Mike sees it. I love her.
Yeah, I do. And I just, I think her character, like, again, they demoted her. You know, it's, it threw it away. Threw it away.
So this what they've done with Rhea Ripley reminded me of what they did with Charlotte before Charlotte went to the main roster and what they did to Finn Balor before Finn Balor transitioned to Raw and SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
They lose the title. They get a rematch. So in Rhea's case, it was the three-way. And then she's going to be on Raw or SmackDown soon. And that's just me guessing. But based on her positioning, she's not even on TakeOver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Charlotte, before she made her full transition to Raw or SmackDown or whatever brand she ended up on, maybe it was before the brand splits.
I think it was Raw.
She wasn't on that TakeOver.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not. So Rhea Ripley isn't on this TakeOver.
Right.
So it's just something to keep an eye on.
Oh, good, good. And I hope she does get that push on the Raw or SmackDown roster. I'm all in on that. So,
so based on this, I'm going to go a little bit out of order. We'd normally do Ridley round. I'm going to go to match of the week because it'll transition.
Let's do it.
So my match of the week is Bayley versus Sasha Banks for the NXT Women's Championship at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn in 2015. That's the match where Charlotte and Becky weren't on that TakeOver because they were transitioning to Raw or SmackDown. That to me, that show is what made those takeovers much watch and what really started Kevin Owens showing up and challenging John Cena. This was the transition to making NXT more mainstream. Specific to that match, it was the final night for the Four Horsewomen of NXT. Banks walks in as champion, Bayley leaves as champion. Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, they're all moving to Raw or SmackDown. And now it's Bayley's turn to be the NXT Women's Champion and carry the brand. This is the end game for the Bayley story, which the Bayley story is super fan turned wrestler who's a wrestler and a fangirl. She gets suckered in by all these women she's fans of. They all turn on her. And then on her road to this takeover, Bayley beats Charlotte, beats Becky Lynch, and then beats Sasha Banks and becomes the NXT Women's Champion. The Owens-Balor ladder match was outstanding and went on last, but it couldn't follow the Bayley-Banks match and the emotion behind it. So that's something that you should go back and watch this week.
Damn good one. That's a really good show all around. And important, too, for the elevation of the women's division in WWE where it is today. So, there you go. Joe, you want to go? You want me to go? Okay. So, listen, Jimmy, I know he's going to rip me. He ripped me before the start of the show. I told him what the match was. But I'm just going because of the sole buildup to the anticipation of the return of The Undertaker at SummerSlam 1994 when The Undertaker fought The Undertaker. And, yeah, the match was a dud. It went on last, and I have no issue with that because, of course, you guys know how I feel about The Taker. But going into the pay-per-view of 1994, of course, Undertaker gets killed at the Royal Rumble. The mysterious return where the million-dollar man buys out The Undertaker, has him part of the million-dollar faction there, the Dream Team, whatever he had there. Paul Bearer teasing the return of The Taker. And just being at that young stage in my life, all anticipation built up there for how, if he's going to be in DiBiase's corner, if Paul Bearer indeed will bring back the real Undertaker or whatnot. I just love the whole build up to this whole thing here. It was the first event in the United Center in Chicago, the new stadium at the time there in 1994. Leslie Nielsen was a part of this, trying to find out the Undertaker. Just go back and watch the old Raws going into it and the superstars of that summer of 1994 for the return of the Undertaker. Yes, we know who won. It was the purple one, not the gray one. And the real Undertaker did win the match. The build-up storytelling, I liked it because that was a really bad year. The next 2 years, 93 to 95-ish, not good for WWF. And that did help save the product.
Joe, match of the week, do you have one?
I'm just keeping it on a SummerSlam theme. When I was a kid, man, I loved the Bret Hart versus the British Bulldog.
Excellent choice.
Like that one for me, let's just say what it is. Bret Hart put over the British Bulldog, right? In his home, the family, bringing the wife in. Just to me, that was an event that I stayed up for. I watched it. I loved it. We all talked about nostalgia feel when it comes to SummerSlam. I'm sure we can all come up with our best matches, but that was a good one. And I think it was the height. It was, right? Davey Boy Smith. That was the height. That was
his high point. Definitely. That was his high spot.
And, getting put over in that situation, the family comes in at the end, blah, blah, blah. But just, for me, short and sweet, that's a great match. If you ever go back and watch it, it was very good. Now, I'm not going to put it up there with any of the best of all time or anything like that.
No, Joe, there's a conversation to be had that Bret and Davey in London was one of the great matches in WWE history. That's not too much of a stretch.
Yeah, any Bret match is really good.
Yeah, any Bret match. Really well. Storyline, they built it. It had the guys in the ring. It had the storyline, the family line. It was very good. So short and sweet, that was my answer.
Jimmy, I think 2 weeks ago I had the Roddy Piper Royal Rumble Mountie match for the Intercontinental title. 92 is a great year for the Intercontinental title. You had Roddy Piper, Bret Hart, British Bulldog, IC champs. That's all really good. That's a
Shawn Michaels won his first Intercontinental championship.
Yeah, that's huge. That really propelled that title to the next level there when it was very important. Now, I know they're bringing it back more now and so forth, but that was a big year for the IC title. Huge. So,
Mike, do you have a Riley round for us?
Well, hey, look at the segues here. Speaking of the IC title, I know we touched on this briefly, and we consider the TNT title as the Intercontinental Championship for AEW. What are you guys thinking of the new design? Are you, quote, Joe Murray, to quote him, in or out on it?
I'm in on it. I like how they designed it. I think it's a pretty belt.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. It's good. I mean, it is what it is. Better than what it looked like originally, I think.
Yeah, I think it's so much better now. It is a sexy looking design. Thank God they put a little injection of life into that thing because before, not that good.
The problem is, Mike, is that they had a deadline when they needed it and then the pandemic hit. And so it took a little bit more time. So now they have it and away we go.
Right. No, it looks awesome. I love it. All right. So we're coming up on the 25-year anniversary of the first ever WCW Monday Nitro. Now, of course, Monday Nitro is no longer a thing. But when I say WCW Monday Nitro, what's the first thought that comes to your mind?
Eric Bischoff.
Really?
Yep. Eric Bischoff, the creator of it. And for 83 weeks, he whooped Vince's ass.
Okay.
But when I think Nitro, I think Eric Bischoff, and I think Lex Luger showing up unexpectedly.
That was huge. The first ever one.
So despite the video game, which was amazing.
The video game for PlayStation was awesome.
I think of Scott Hall invading WCW.
Yeah.
May of 96.
Yep.
And then the terrible Sting versus Bret Hart title match on Nitro, which just didn't work out.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
I was so pissed after that. Yeah, 1999, I'm like I was like watching it with my friends. Hey, guys, Sting, Bret Hart, gotta watch it. Dud.
Yeah. This was a coin toss for me, but I really think a Goldberg first Nitro, the undefeated streak for such a long time. Always, they're going head to head with WWE.
Mike, who did Goldberg beat his first Nitro win?
Ooh. I know this.
Was it DDP?
It was not.
No, who was the trainer? The trainer that Enzo got in a beef with.
Hugh Morris.
Hugh Morris.
Oh, Hugh Morris. Hugh Morris. Oh. Yeah, Hugh
Morris. Do you know who the second win was? And do you know where it was?
Ooh, it was on a pay-per-view. No, was it?
Nope.
I remember not, because I watched this Goldberg thing recently.
It was September 27, 1997 in Worcester, Massachusetts. Wow. He beat the Barbarian.
Really?
Do you know what fat, chubby little kid was there sitting front row with mom and dad?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. You were
with
there
his
for
the ECW Sandman sign on.
That's awesome.
That was the night my mom called Scott Hall.
That's right. I remember you said that. Yes. I remember you said that. Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. I love it. And finally here, guys, what was the last one I wrote down? Oh, yeah. Jimmy, you know, I got the idea of this because I saw your tweet this week where you called me out of senior alerts but not writing back on text.
Yeah.
That's okay. No problem. Yeah. But you did
say, there's a history of it.
you put a tweet out, and I really like this one.
See, the night that Daniel Bryan won the title, and I'm texting you, you're ignoring me, and then I tweet that you're ignoring my text message. And oh, wow, look at what happened. He's home to do an emergency podcast because Daniel Bryan just won the world title.
Well, there's a story behind that for another day.
I know, and you're welcome because you scored that night.
You're a fine American, yes. If you could
see what I do for people, Joe, I put them over.
Yes, he does. He's a good man. If you could, and that was a Tuesday night. Yeah,
it was a Tuesday night. You're right.
Putting people over since 1981.
I've been putting people over in the radio world since 2000, but in the real world since 1981.
All right. If you could rebook just one wrestling finish, what would it be? One wrestling event. What would it be? Rebook it.
So on Twitter, I said that it would be Cactus Jack winning in Madison Square Garden over Triple H at the Royal Rumble 2000. I would do that. I would make Cactus Jack the WWF World Champion. I think the Twitter world actually, we'll get your answer, and then I'll go to what the actual real answer should be.
Okay.
Go ahead, Joe.
So go ahead.
We went to an event, a bunch of guys together. We all met in town, hot night. I think it was a Money in the Bank, and John Cena won it in Boston, and I was so pissed. Like, I didn't want Cena to win it. Anybody but Cena that night. And I don't have a thing against Cena. Just that night, I wanted somebody different, and we didn't get it. I don't know who I would have booked, but just somebody different than him that night.
Really?
Yeah, just
you would have booked that different.
So okay. the reason why Cena won that Money in the Bank is because it was going to be Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, and Brock was going to destroy Daniel Bryan, but they needed a bigger name to fight Brock Lesnar, so they picked John Cena, and they had the same match.
Hmm. Okay.
But all Cena versus Brock is greater than. Well, let's just pull it up. That would have been Money in the Bank.
2014.
The night Seth Rollins won.
Yeah.
Who else was in that match?
Bray Wyatt.
I feel like Randy Orton was in that match. I feel like
Cesaro.
Right. I feel like Roman was in that match.
No. He was. Del Rio, Bray Wyatt, Cesaro, Cena, Kane, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and Sheamus.
I mean, give me Roman if you had to, you know?
Was he ready though at that time?
And everybody would have hated it anyways.
See, I like Cena winning there. I thought that was great. Do you really want to do
it? So at the time, Cesaro was coming off of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal win. He had Paul Heyman. I thought that should have been Cesaro's win because Cesaro versus Brock would have been awesome to me. But again, it's not the hardcores. It's SummerSlam, and it's got to be a big match. So of all those people, you're not doing Roman versus Brock there because you're saving that. And you're not doing Orton versus Brock because that doesn't make sense. And then Kane. And so it was seen as, I mean, I look at this and hindsight being what it is, it's kind of a tomato can match for John Cena.
Yeah, it was a layup for him and an easy one too. And yeah, I have no issue with them winning that one there in Boston, 2014. For mine, you know, Jimmy, you made me think about that. There were 2000, you know, Triple H No, it was good because I thought WrestleMania 2000 sucked. The ending of that there, Triple H, that was Triple H's year 2000. You know, he goes on, he beats Foley at the pay-per-view the month after No Way Out. Then he wins at Mania 2000. It's like, come on, man, do you have to do this? But you know what? I think the safe bet here and the ultimate one is WrestleMania 17.
Yep, Stone that's Cold the answer.
There you go. All right, Stone Cold Steve Austin turning heel. What the hell? And he's so damn lucky that it was in Texas. If that were anywhere else, he would get absolutely manslaughtered out of the building. Just absolutely killed it. Awful.
So in the same way that people look at the death of WCW is when Tony Schiavone said, Mick Foley's going to win the world title on the other company.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, then you're giving them the finger poke of doom, right? Mm-hmm. That happens on the same night. So that's the night that many people think killed WCW. Eric Bischoff will tell you, nope. When Turner and Time Warner merged and they had to go more PG route, that's when WCW was essentially dying, is when Bischoff lost all his power. That, to many, that WrestleMania 17 finish of Steve Austin turning into a villain, that's when some think that was the downfall. That was the start of the downfall for the WWF. And that's even with them buying WCW. And then they botched the invasion angle. Even though that invasion pay-per-view did 3/4 of a million buys. But because Team WCW was meshed with ECW and it didn't have Hogan, Goldberg, Sting, Ric Flair on it. And that's the big issue. That's what everybody wanted to see. And then it was done by Survivor Series because Vince got bored with it.
Right.
Because your SummerSlam main event that year was Kurt Angle versus Steve Austin, who were both WWF guys.
Right. So. Exactly. And yeah, and Austin turns on Team WWF there at the Invasion and the Providence Raw show at the bar. You know, and then he goes on WWF's side there going into that Invasion pay-per-view. It was so bad. They botched everything big time. And that was the downfall, though. It was the start of it right there. It was terrible. So there you go.
Joe Murray from Over Under 98.5, thank you. If people want to get your gambling advice, I think you won 75. You won a 70% clip this week?
Yes, we did great. And if you're a Red Sox fan, fade them and take the over in every game. But yes, Over Under 98.5. Every Saturday, 7 a.m., 98.5 The Sports Hub. And also, you can find us and where podcasts are heard, just like this one.
So if you like money, this is the follow Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, who's a loose cannon, who I love dearly.
Yep.
And next week. Next week is the Zoom call. Oh.
Yeah, you excited for that? You ready? You ready?
Next week. So on the 98.5 The Sports Hub contest page, you can enter for a chance to, that's great. Riley just dropped off. That's amazing. You can go to 985thesportshub.com, the contest page, and enter to participate in a Zoom call. We're going to be watching SummerSlam together. Me, Mike, Joe, you're more than welcome to join us.
Yeah, I'll be a fan. I'll tune in as a fan.
I think we're going to have some other people jumping in and out, but we're going to put some listeners in. And you're going to watch over Zoom call or WebEx or whatever gimmick we use. And you're going to watch along with us and we're going to have some fun. And with the exception of me putting my daughter to bed, I'll be here for the whole time.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So I'll have to dip out for about 20 minutes or so and, you know, be a dad. But outside of that, like you're going to watch the show with us. If you're pulled out and selected to win. So hopefully you'll enter on the contest page of 985thesportshub.com. So outside of that, we'll probably do a SummerSlam recap podcast next week, or we'll just do the Zoom call and we'll just post that. I'm not sure. I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't thought it through that much. This is stream of consciousness because I'm tired.
One day at a time. One day at a time.
And I broke my tooth.
What happened? Week,
yeah, I broke my tooth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I got to get that fixed this week. So I was worried that I was going to just slur my words all day, but.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I fought through it. I'm tough.
Yeah, as you know, Dr. D'Amico.
Yeah, I know, right? Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and an Apple Podcast and Google Podcasts. Joe Murray, thank you. You can find him at Over Under 98.5.
Call Britt Baker.
call Britt Baker.
Britt Baker, yeah.
I could call Britt Baker. I actually have that information.
You should get Isaac
Mike
Yanker.
Riley will. Mike Riley and Joe Murray, we will talk to you next week on the SummerSlam Zoom call. We'll figure out post-game stuff or whatever. We'll figure it out. But thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.